And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy. It's brought to you by our friends at Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out or you want to rent the travel trailer, leave your camping experience to Wheel Estate next summer. Check them out at wheelestate.ca and all of their rentals backed by a $1 million insurance policy, so you got peace of mind there. Also, we're brought to you by Paul Waldoit, the home realty experts at Royal LePage. Give him a call, 306-502-5355, if you want to get in the real estate game, either as a buyer or a seller. We're going to start this podcast, episode 48 of Growing the Game with Ballsy, with Ryan Schienbein, outstanding slot back at the U of R Rams. He earned Canada West Offensive Player of the Week honors last week for his performance in Edmonton. They trounced the Alberta Golden Bears 51-13. He had 13 catches for 176 yards and three touchdowns. I asked him, what went right?
It was an absolute privilege. I think our offense just connected on in all areas. We ran the ball well, and we threw the ball well, and we had a bunch of receivers, I think a couple in the high 90s. So yeah. Noah was clicking with us, and it just went right for us.
So where does that one rank in terms of your career highlights, your young career?
It was an honor, definitely an honor. It's one, it'll stick with me, but I'm hoping there's more.
Yeah, so anybody that hasn't watched Ryan Schienbein, I say, what are you doing, living under a rock? But if they haven't, what's your best attribute, do you think?
I would hope my intelligence. I believe me and Noah are on the same page for most of the time, and I'm not the biggest guy, I'm not the fastest guy on the field, but I just try to catch everything and be in the right spot.
He's not the biggest guy either, but he throws to a spot. His anticipation of where his receivers are going to be is impeccable. What do you like best about playing with Noah?
He's a genius, man. He's in the film room all the time. He knows the playbook inside and out, and he knows exactly where the receivers are. He rarely makes mistakes, so it's easy to trust him and know he's going to make the right pass.
This is an insecure game, and even, you know, it's an insecure game on so many levels. You're great one week, the next week it's tough. How do you deal with the stress?
Yeah, it's a roller coaster of emotions for sure, but I think it's just staying level-headed and having a rock such as a family or a faith like myself. So yeah, just knowing, understanding it's bigger than the game. It's just football, and it's a game we're privileged to be able to play.
Yeah, I think this week Humboldt Broncos are playing their very first game since the bus accident. I think that does put sports in perspective, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's a community, and I think everyone can relate to it. And at the end of the game, like I said, it's just a game. There's life after it, and we're so happy we get to do it, and we're privileged. But yeah, it's been a blast.
Do you marvel how fast time is flying out here for you?
Unbelievable! I can't believe I'm in my fourth year already. It seems like I was just in my rookie year last week. So it goes by fast. Yeah. You never really cherish it that much. Yeah.
What are you taking in school?
Kinesiology and health studies.
So how tough is it for you to juggle school and football?
I actually talked to Rob Vanstone yesterday about this. I don't think people understand how much time football really takes. It's probably close to 7 hours a day. So it's like a full-time job, but it's fun. And you find time to get the school done and academics done. And if you're a student athlete, it's something you have to worry about.
Have you thought about life after the Rams? Do you want to continue playing football? Do you want to coach? Or are you just concentrating on what you might do away from the football field?
Absolutely. I think you always think about the future. And I'd love to play football for as long as I can at the highest profession I can, but you understand things happen and you got to move on. So I'm going to make sure I get my degree and I'm able to use what I've learned in university to help me in the future.
You know, people that are walking into Mosaic Stadium to watch this game today, they might not remember that you scored the first ever points in the stadium. That's a pretty cool story to tell your offspring down the line.
Yeah, it was an awesome day that day, and again, a privilege to be able to just be put in the opportunity to make that play. And again, Noah picked and made the right read and the right throw, and I was just lucky enough to be the receiver to catch it.
Now, as you are talking here, it's halftime, so we're taping this interview, so I don't know what the score is, but it's imperative you guys win some games at home. You can't win anything in this league if you don't win your home games.
Absolutely. I think we're in the hardest division or conference in the league, and it's imperative to win every home game. So we always get great crowds, and it's easy to play in our stadium. So I'm hoping we're up right now, and hopefully we can just continue to build on that lead.
As a veteran guy, how much do you take it upon yourself to get the guys on task? Because it seems like this team has had troubles starting fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing we took away from game one, and we really tried to build on in week two, and I think we saw a change in that. And again, that's top bottom. Starts with the coaches, and it ends with us. So I'm hoping we did well in week two, and I'm hoping we can build off of that.
Okay, lastly, what's your favorite route?
That's a secret. I can't let anyone know that.
Okay, thanks for this, man.
No worries. Thank you very much.
I and this is Growing the Game, and we're joined by legendary U of S Huskies coach Brian Towers, who will be honored this weekend at the U of S. And Brian, what do you think about that, the goings-on this weekend?
Well, I guess it's something that it's good. It's going to bring a little closure to the career at the U of S anyways, and I'm looking forward to it, and the fact that they're honoring some of our long-term volunteers as well, which is really important to me.
Yeah, I want to talk about that for a second, but that is great because you led me into my next question. Does it kind of wrap a bow or put a bow on your career, Brian?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, we had a great run here, 33 years, and there were so many guys that were with me for 20-plus that, it was special. We're all great friends, and it's kind of fitting when we go out together.
What immediately jumps to your mind when you think of that long run with the U of S?
Well, I think long-term success, we were competitive just about every year that we were here. I think there was only 3 or 4 years we didn't make the playoffs, I guess the biggest regret would be that we couldn't get over the final hump in the last 8 or 10 years. Still very good, but couldn't bring that fourth national championship to the university.
You're the all-time winningest coach in terms of wins at the university level, and of course you went into the Hall of Fame here recently, and you're one of your old players who's taken over as the head coach for you. Scott Flory's going in this year. It's kind of a neat thing. I told Flory, now you got to keep up your end of the bargain and follow what Brian did, because you're going in after him into the Hall. You got to keep that winning tradition going, and he said, yeah, he's going to try to do the best he can. But that's kind of a neat thing too, that your successor's going into the Hall of Fame too.
Yeah, it's special, and Scott was a great CIS player, and he went on to a 15-year storied CFL career. One thing when we brought him back with the intent of him having a long career here, it wasn't automatic. He certainly had to fight to get the job, but he's a tremendous coach, and he's going to do very well here, and I certainly want to congratulate him on a Hall of Fame playing career as well.
So you were a very competitive guy, as I know and everybody knows. How much do you miss the game?
I'm still involved a little bit. I did a little bit of consulting last year. This is the first fall when I haven't really been active on a daily kind of basis, watching film and that kind of thing. But certainly there are some things I miss. I miss the kids more than anything, in that daily interaction with them. You may have heard some coaches say this, what they end up missing at the end is more the preparation than the games themselves, it's been good. It's nice to get a rest too. One thing I don't miss is getting home at 11 o'clock every night and that kind of thing. Still get up early and get busy, but now I can go to bed at 10 o'clock or 10:30 without much to worry about.
And there's never a lot of criticism. You're always a winner on game day, right?
Yeah, for sure. Now you can sit back and be a fan, which is something I've never had a chance to do.
What kind of advice would this Brian Towers give the Brian Towers that was coming in back in the day? If you could give him a piece of advice, maybe that opened your eyes over your 33 years coaching there.
Well, to stay current, which is something that we tried to do, and you can never stop learning in that business. You have to keep at it. Certainly surround yourself with great, great people. And if you're able to do that and work hard and treat people with respect and dignity, then good things can usually happen.
I don't think coaching is a young man's game in the sense. What I mean by that is you know the game. I don't care if you're 25 or 60 or whatever. Like you said, you got to keep learning. But is it a young man's game in terms of scouting now and recruiting and getting out and recruiting? Has it become a young man's game that way?
I don't know whether it's a young man's game, Turtle, in terms of actually relating to the kids and establishing a relationship with them. But coaches need help now. It's not a one-person game anymore. A lot of those successful programs have full-time recruiting coordinators that are doing it year-round. And even at the college level, there's people with eyes on kids in all regions of the country, so to initiate those contacts and to follow them up. So that's the wearing part of the business is certainly the recruiting. And it's nice to have a recruiting coordinator, a young guy with lots of energy, and spend lots of time on the with the texts and on his phone.
Well, I'm pretty sure Nick Saban just walks into a recruit's house and finishes the deal. He's got a lot of guys behind the scenes. And that's maybe where, I mean, we can't compare U of S to Alabama, but you know where I'm going with that. Nick Saban's not in the backwoods beating the drum. He comes in and closes the deal, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. They got about 14 assistant coaches that hit the road the day after the season's over. And, you know, nowadays people start recruiting kids in grade 10. And it really is a full-time job just to track them and can keep a full-time relationship with those kids and try to, you know, just to let them know that you're interested, what you can provide them and what kind of atmosphere they're going to play in.
Brian, what kind of advice would you give to parents whose kids are graduating this year, or maybe like in grade 11, like you said, they start recruiting them early. What kind of advice would you give to parents who are looking for the best option for their kids?
Well, one thing that I think some parents look for is they look for an opportunity where their son has a chance to play right away, and that's not always the best thing to do, I don't think. I think what they want to do is find a good fit, certainly where they know that they're going to be treated well and that there is a window of opportunity where there are a proven track record where kids have an opportunity to progress rather than to fall for the used car salesman and the fact that, yes, you're going to come in, you're going to play right away. Because it's other than for the rare exception and the really, really talented kids, that's just not reality. Most of them have to learn as they make the jump to the next level.
Brian Towers joining us here in Growing the Game as he's being honored this weekend. Do you know what's going to be taking place this weekend for you in terms of the festivities? I know Brad Wall is going to be there, but there's also supposed to be some other panelists there, and they're going to do like a Q&A or something?
Yeah, I think, Friday night the university's going to honor us at the game, pre-game on Friday night, and then And then Saturday, it's an alumni function that where former Premier Wall is going to be there. I think Darren Detition is going to MC the event, and that's what it'll be. It'll be a sit-down Q&A. They'll probably bring up some alumni from different eras, from some of our championship teams and some of the others before, and more just a sit-down conversation rather than a bunch of speeches.
Brian, they're going to also honor that team from 20 years ago that won the championship. What do you remember about that squad?
Well, that was one of the most talented teams we've had. Lots of those kids on that team won two Vanier Cups and came within seconds of probably winning a third in their career. So that was a great bunch of kids. The 1998 team, I think, as a collective group, were probably the most talented one we had. I think four of the five offensive linemen went on to play in the CFL, and we had some great skill kids as well. So credit to them. It's going to be great to see some of those guys again.
Yeah, for sure. And Brian, you maybe can't answer this question, but I hope you try. Who's the best player you ever coached?
Oh, you'd have to look at different positions, I think, rather than single them out or certainly from a skill guy, Dan Farthing is right up there. Another guy you'd may never not played beyond would have been Maury Norston. He did everything, just maybe lacked the size to be a pro. Lyman, there's lots of them. I mean, Scotty, obviously, Ben Heenan, Patty Neufeld. You know, all those offensive linemen were great players as well. So,
yeah, for sure, you definitely left your mark on a lot of guys. Hey, how about the bobblehead? There's Brian Towers bobbleheads. It looks kind of like you actually when I saw the one.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat thing, and my kids certainly laughed when they saw it. So it's hopefully they got rid of a few of them. I told a couple of my friends that a couple of them have ended up on the wrong end of the gun range, but that's all right as well.
Hey, lastly, what do you think of the team so far this edition? They're 2-0, pretty exciting victory over Manitoba. They're playing a good Calgary team this week, though.
Yeah, no, they're off to a good start, much like they were last year in this case. And they lacked the depth, and when they ran into some injuries last year, it caused some grief. But certainly they're moving the ball well, and I think they're a little bit older and more experienced on defense. And you're right, Calgary's going to be a great test, but I see them as kind of front runners and it packing up in the middle a little bit more so than it did last year. But they're going to face some teams with some good offenses here in the next 3 weeks, and it'll be interesting to see where everything falls out, kind of after the Thanksgiving weekend.
Hey, I just want to ask you one more question. I forgot to ask this earlier. So I know, like, here locally, Frank and Bernie got back into coaching a little bit here and there in the spring league. Have you dabbled with the youngsters? Like, because I think you'd be a good source of wisdom for younger coaches and younger players.
Yeah, you know, I said last year I did some consulting with the University of Guelph. I was down to their training camp for two weeks, and then certainly had practice film from them every day, and I went to Florida with them. And then again last spring I helped out with the academy here with the high school football academy that runs in May and June up here. So I've been involved that way. Yeah, I've also, you know, done a few high school camps here and there.
And what strikes you now about today's athlete as opposed to maybe, you know, the 20 years ago, for instance, we talked about the 98 team. How have things changed with the athlete?
Well, I think they come out of high school a little bit more prepared. These kids are playing the game 12 months of the year from the time that they're, you know, they're in grade 9 and 10. And they've had so many more opportunities through things like the U16 program, the U18 program. You know, I think in the last 4 or 5 years, half of our recruits have played 3 or 4 international games, or maybe more than that even. So I think physically they're coming out a little bit more prepared, maybe a little bit more specialized than they used to be as well, because they often only play one position on the way up. But they're well coached, they're skilled, and you know, I think they're already indoctrinated into that working out year-round as well.
When you think U of S Huskies football, you think this guy, Brian Towers, and he'll get his just due this weekend. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate this.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out, or you want to rent a travel trailer, keep them in mind for your next camping experience, and all their rentals backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And if you want to get in the real estate game, do it with Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home realty experts. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. We're pleased to be talking some Moose Jaw football, Moose Jaw High School football. Colin Belcher is the head coach of the Moose Jaw Central Cyclones. How are you today, Colin?
Doing well, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for being on. Okay, so you opened the season with a 38-0 win over Vanier last week. Tell me about that game.
You know, it was a great start for our year. You know, I think the kids kind of had some sour taste in their mouth. Vanier program was able to knock us out of the playoffs the last 2 years. And, you know, we've had some growing pains over the last number of years. And finally, this year, we have a really strong group of seniors. And I think they were tired of Vanier taking it to us, and, you know, they brought a little extra on Saturday.
So high school football is cyclical, as you kind of referred to there, Colin. So you had a younger team, and now you've matured into a more experienced unit. Are you kind of top-heavy with seniors this year?
Yeah, well, this is 4 years ago we started a junior varsity program. These current grade 12s were our first set of grade 9s. So we have 15 grade 12s on our team right now, and they were a product of being on the team for 4 years, which is kind of rare in this league.
That's awesome.
So now we're seeing the fruits of our labor and the fact that they've been around for 4 years.
So was that was that by design?
You know, it was. You know, we had a great group of athletes come in that year as grade 9s, and it forced us to start this junior varsity team, and we've been running it consecutively ever since. And we're really seeing a lot of growth from the players that have been able to stick with our program over the course of 9 through 12.
Okay, so what do you see? You've been the head coach there for 8 years. You've been with that program for 10 years. Just through your eyes, Colin Belcher, What do you see as the difference in the athlete now as opposed to 10 years ago when you started?
You know, I think now it's more about the ability to use the mental part of the game. You know, we watch a lot of film. There's more programs out there available for us to share our coaches' intel with the players, and they're able to watch things right on their phone, and they're coming to practice more prepared. They're seeing the mental side of the game is becoming more and more important than just being physically stronger than everybody else. And you know, I think this group at grade 12, that's one of their strengths, is they're coming to practice prepared well before we get on the field coaching them, and it's showing dividends for us.
I've asked other guys this. I'm going to ask you this. How much do you think video games help, like Madden 19, with all the plays, and they get to see the plays and the way they develop? I know it's 11-man football, American football, but just the concepts, and they get to play video games in a fun way. Hell of a lot better than when I was a kid and it was a stick man running across the screen, or he used the Bo Jackson Tecmo Bowl play. How much do you think video games has helped?
You know, to a point. I mean, I think it helps with the verbiage for the kids and understanding what a cover three looks like. I mean, a cover three is a cover three. If they didn't play Madden growing up, maybe they didn't know what that meant. But, you know, it's, the kids that are playing video games now, I'd rather have them in the weight room than playing the video games, to be honest. But but you know, yeah, you know what, you're right. It probably does help a little bit just to be around the game. I mean, kids don't watch football like they used to. They're probably playing the game more than they're actually watching it. So, you know, it just keeps them around the game of football, and just everything helps with their IQ.
Okay, so what's the biggest challenge being a coach of high school guys today as opposed to being, you know, a coach 8, 10 years ago?
A lot of multi-sport athletes. And, you know, we encourage that here at our school. And, we have kids playing on the volleyball team. We have kids playing on the soccer team. We have kids running cross-country. We have hockey kids. You know, and hockey seems to start earlier every year, it feels like. And, you know, we always have to juggle that around. And when you have a good athlete, you want to encourage multiple sports to play. And I just find, you know, over the last course of, you know, 10 years, lots of athletes are playing multiple sports, and they're trying to juggle these all around. And they're also working a lot more. So, you know, the commitment isn't we play football and I'm just a football player. It's we play multiple sports, you know, and we really push on being that student athlete. So there's a lot of pressure to them do well in the classroom as well.
Yeah, but boy, Cole, this is a tough sport to only be a part-timer in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, your strongest players are usually those ones that are committing to off-season training, committing to off-season learning, and coming to the season well-prepared in advance of everybody else.
As a gym teacher there at Moose Jaw Central, you, of course, want to be encouraging because you're a gym teacher, and that's the other hat that you wear. But in terms of, you know, your thoughts on this, and it's a good topic. Thanks for bringing it up. When we're talking about this, when do you think a guy or a girl should commit to one sport? Like, if they're really serious about it. You talked about them coming in at grade 9. Do you think about grade 11 they should start saying, okay, my path is football, my path is hockey? You know what I mean?
Well, it's such a fine line. I mean, we have great hockey players come through our school regularly. And, you know, hockey players, you know, being Canada's sport, are often, you know, they're often holding themselves by going one direction when they could be a great football player or basketball player or so on. And we find lots of times that basketball player often becomes a great football player and vice versa. We are a mosaic school here, so we have a lot of immigrant students here, and we find they come with a lot of soccer knowledge, but they're just raw, talented athletes, and they do okay on the field. I don't know if there is ever a great time for them to focus on one sport. You know, sometimes body shape depicts on what sport you're going to play. But, you know, I don't think until after you've graduated do you necessarily have to concentrate on one sport. I think you need the full meal deal when you're in high school.
Cole Belcher joining us here from the Moose Jaw Central Cyclones. We'll talk about your upcoming game and some of your players, but you brought up another great thing here. Immigration and immigrants coming to our country. I think that's something we're struggling with at the Canadian Football League level too, trying to attract these new Canadians to our game, because soccer, baseball, those type of sports, cricket, that's their favorite. They don't really get football. They might be scared off with the safety issues. Parents don't comprehend it. And I know the female aspect of football is growing. Do you really think that's an area we can capitalize on and try to sell the game to these immigrants, and can we do that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, being an athlete is being an athlete, and it just comes down to coaching them up and helping them understand the game and you know, allowing them to see the benefits of playing a game like football and you know, the camaraderie and the fact that, you know, we're one big team. We're the largest team in the school, and that's how it is in most schools. And, you know, it's a really great opportunity for these new students to meet other students, you know, from different cultures. And it also helps integrate them into the school, and it allows them to be a part of a big program.
Why do you like football? Why do you like coaching? What keeps you coming back year after year, besides it's extracurricular and you're a teacher and you got another 0% wage increase? great move by the government. Let's invest in our future. But that's a story for another day. I'm pissed. I'm pissed about that too. But anyway, Cole Belcher, why do you keep coming back to coach?
You know, I grew up playing the game. You know, I played at a semi-high level, and I've coached, and I love it. My two boys are involved in football, and it's just a culture in my house, and my wife's very supportive of what we do. And, you know, it's just that created culture that I really enjoy. I like to see the look on the guys' faces and the fact that they know they're a part of a big program. They know they're a part of a brotherhood, and just the camaraderie that comes with the game outside of the X's and O's. I think that's a really strong avenue, and that's what kind of draws me in.
Forgive me, Cole, I didn't ask you before the interview. Where did you play? What's your background?
I grew up here in Moose Jaw. I played here. I played quarterback over, actually, at our rivals over across the road at Peacock. And then I went and played 2 years in Saskatoon with Hilltops before my knees decided to give out on me. So
yeah, okay. So, and you've transferred into being a really good coach. Tell me about some of the players on your team that we can talk about, because I like to highlight amateur athletes, not just the coaches, but the athletes. There are some names that we can maybe follow here from Regina.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't even really know where to begin. We have such a strong, talented group of grade 12s and young guys, for that matter. Hunter Morgan, he's a starting linebacker for us. He played on the South Selects team that went down to Texas and won a gold medal. He also played on Team Sask. They also won a gold medal this summer. So he's played at some really high-level football teams, and he signed with the Rams. So he's coming to Regina next year to play with you guys. He's a really strong middle presence for us. On the defense as well, Crozier Holmes, he's a defensive back, and he also plays slot for us. You know, he's going into his third year as a captain. He's one of those strong lead-by-example kind of guys. He's a big, strong, athletic guy, leading our off-season workouts, always practice first, last to leave, that kind of guy. Our starting quarterback, Ethan Johnson, he's a guy that's put in a lot of work. He's got a strong arm. His strength comes from his ability to read defenses and understand what's giving. Last game, he completed, he was 19 of 22 for 330 yards.
Wow.
To eight different receivers.
Oh, that's outstanding.
You know, so he's taking what the defense is offering. He's not trying to stare down one guy. You know, if one of those guys is open, he's getting him the ball. But CJ Vincent's another one of our guys. He led the league last year in receptions. He's a big, strong, athletic kid. He's able to bring down most balls that come his way. You know, we can go right down to our running backs, and we got DBs and our receiving core. Our receiving core is primarily grade 12s, and it trickles down. We have a lot of talent on this team, and we hope to make sure we can wrap it all together and have a successful season.
Well, they've got a great program out in Yorkton. Didn't they win the Moose Jaw League last year? And you've got them in Yorkton this Friday Night Lights. How jacked is the team for this game? That's a nice little bus trip. You get a little camaraderie and get ready to walk into enemy territory.
Yeah, I tell you what, that game's been circled on my calendar since the schedule came out. They got a great program down there in Yorkton. You know, they have the benefit of having that small town mentality where they can grow those kids through the same systems, the same coaching styles, right from peewee, right up until they're into grade 12. And they always seem to be producing these great athletes, these big football players, and they got the coaching to back it up. And going into Yorkton on a Friday night, they put on a great show. We're underneath the lights, which we don't get to do very often, and you know, they're returning champs. They lost a heartbreaker in the provincial final, so we know what they're capable of, and they had a high scoring affair against Weyburn, and they didn't give up many points against Weyburn either. So this is going to be a true test for us, and we're going to find out what we're worth of, and kind of see how the season goes, and we'll see what happens after Friday.
Okay, Colin Belcher, head coach of the Moose Jaw Central Cyclones, take me inside the locker room. I'm sitting in the locker room right before we go out and play Yorkton. What are you going to tell the guys?
You got to play smart. You got to play under control, controlled chaos. It's going to be a very high-level game. There's going to be a lot of motions running. It's a big team on both sides of the ball. And you just got to execute. These kids know what they're capable of doing, and Yorkton always brings it. They're a very strong and physical team. And we just got to use our systems and stay true to what we do, and we should be fine.
Colin Belcher, head coach of the Moose Jaw Central Cyclones. We're finally talking some Moose Jaw football, and you were well-spoken. I appreciate that. Thanks for this.
You bet.
Time now for player profile with Luchez Purifoy. Did I say that right?
Yep, you said exactly right.
How many people butcher that name?
A lot, man. I've been going through it my whole life.
Are you happy with how your parents named you? Because some people don't like their name.
It's cool. It's only one person with that name. It's a different name. It fit football, to be honest with you.
Okay. So this last game against the Blue Bombers, where does that rank in terms of your career efforts?
This is the top game I've had in my career. So, I mean, I'm blessed to be able to play ball.
Yeah. What do you think of Regina so far?
It's cool, especially the football environment. It's a great football environment. I ain't been out too much. Starting to get cold, evidently, so, yeah.
Did you know much about, I know you played in the league, so you've been here, but did you know much about Saskatchewan and Regina before you got here?
I just knew it was a whole bunch of flat land. That's it. That's all I ever hear.
How long have you been playing football for, Luchez?
Since I was seven.
Who got you into the game?
My uncle.
Your uncle?
Yeah, I had a lot of energy when I was little, so all I do is run around. Like right now, they'd be like, you like running, huh? But I just enjoy playing football, man.
Were you always on the defensive side of the ball?
No, I played running back and quarterback up until college, and that's when I moved to defense.
And what's your favorite thing about playing defense?
Hitting. I mean, the aggressiveness, you get to be yourself over here, and they let you be yourself, so can't ask for much more.
What do you like to do away from the football field? If you do get to go out, is there anything you like to do hobby-wise?
I like bowling, movies. Yeah. That's pretty much it, though.
Okay, what's the best movie you've watched lately?
The Nun.
You just saw it. Yeah. It looked pretty scary to me. Was it scary?
I'm a scary movie guy. I don't really. I go into the movies anticipating the scary part, so I think that's what it don't scare me. But it was a good movie.
Well, for a guy who's aggressive, I can anticipate that. So, what's your favorite scary movie of all time?
The Grudge.
The Grudge?
Yep.
Who stars in that one?
Don't ask me.
Can't remember.
It's a couple.
Yeah.
Willie, my favorite scary movie. Y'all ever ask me? Willie Jefferson is my favorite scary movie. You catch the ball and run 97 yards the long way.
Did you think Willie Jefferson was actually going to make it to the end zone on that play?
Yeah, I did. He just wanted to play. I told him, bro, I was chasing you. I got a kickoff. You can't do that.
That's awesome. What do you like to are you a cook? What do you like to eat?
I mean, spaghetti, yeah? Chicken.
Yeah? That's it?
Yep.
What's a perfect night for you? Give me a perfect night away from the football field.
Dinner, movie, and football.
That's it, eh?
Yep.
Love it. Do you watch NFL?
Yep.
Who's your team?
I don't have one. I just love the game.
Okay, who's your favorite player? Who do you like watching?
Right now, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, savage.
He balled out the other day, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the Lucius.
No problem.
And this is Growing the Game, brought to you by Wheel Estate and Paul Waldo at the Royal LePage, the home realty experts. And we're talking female football here to wrap the show up. And we're talking with Kiara Donaldson from the Regina Victorias. This is your first year playing tackle football, Kiara?
Yeah.
So this is a girl that's had two knee surgeries. The first time it was an ACL tear and you had to get a surgery. Then the second time it was ACL and your meniscus and you had to get surgery. So why the heck do you want to play football?
I really love sports, and I really love competition and like contact sports. And I never had the chance to play tackle football as a kid just because like boys were bigger than me and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this would be a good opportunity for me to try, and it's a really fun game.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about the first game in a minute. I know your boyfriend is the center and a linebacker for the Riffle Royals, Mason. You go to Lobolis, grade 12. Did he give you any pointers or anything like that?
Yeah, he told me I should be a linebacker, but that didn't work out, so I play running back.
Yeah, and you're number 34, is that right? Did I get the number right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about your first game. You guys tied Yorkton at 26. How did you play? Did you get any touchdowns?
Yeah, I got two touchdowns.
Both running?
Yeah.
And so how was the experience? You got to go to travel to Yorkton as a team, and what was that experience like?
It was really good. We had a really fun ride up there. We were singing, the girls and I, and we really got to know each other. And the game was exciting. I mean, my first time getting tackled kind of surprised me, kind of hit the field hard. But after that, I kind of got the hang of it and, like, how to block and everything.
Okay, so we always ask the athletes, describe your touchdowns for me, your first touchdown. How long a run? How did that come to be?
My first touchdown was, like, right on the line. So I had to dive to get in there. Just made it.
Awesome.
And then my second touchdown was, like, a 50-yard run.
Oh, wow. Did you take it around the outside and bust it or what?
Yeah.
I saw one of the pictures. It looked really good. That's one you got to hang on your wall. What's interesting about this, we talk about friendships. Your sister Haley is the center, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah,
So how cool is that playing? You know, your sister plays a pretty important role, too. She's the quarterback of the offensive line. So did your boyfriend Mason give Haley any pointers? That's a key.
Yeah, a few. Just, like, make sure she blocks well so I don't get tackled is kind of the main point.
That's funny. What's it like to play on a tackle football team with your sister?
It's really good. I think we bond better because, you know, she learns to, like, protect me on the field and to make good blocks for me, so I think that helps.
Awesome. Okay, so who do you guys play next?
We play Mooseman this Sunday.
All right. And what do you know about them? Do you know much about the Mooseman team?
No, not really.
No, so that's kind of, you're just kind of going into it blind. Do you like that? So maybe you don't know what they're like. That helps with the nerves, or does it make it worse?
I feel like that helps.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, come out hard, you know.
Yeah. Who's your favorite? Who's your, besides your boyfriend, who's your favorite football player? Like, who do you like on the Riders, or who do you look up to as a football player? Who do you want to play like?
Maybe Daron Carter. Yeah. He's really good.
Yeah, Daron Carter. Yeah, of course, not with the Riders anymore, but absolutely was a fan favorite. All right, well, awesome. So we appreciate you hanging in here. And I guess one last question. What's your favorite thing about the game of football?
Honestly, making plays and good blocks. I love hitting people. It makes me feel better because then I don't get hit.
That's right. Be the hammer, not the nail, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for this. I appreciate it, Kiara, and good luck to you and your sister, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our fine sponsors, Real Estate. Check them out at realestate.ca. And by Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home realty expert. Check him out at 306-502-5355. If you have a story idea you want me to pursue, please email me, mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. If you'd like to sponsor this podcast and help me grow the game of football in Saskatchewan, at least interest-wise, please email me once again, mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. You can catch me every pregame and postgame on the Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM, along with my panelists, including Mike McCullough, Paul Waldo, Chris Best. And you can also catch me every weekday morning on 104.9 The Wolf FM in Regina as I do the morning show with Chad McDonald. Thanks for checking out this podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.